And that's a great observation. We just sang a song, Home of the Soul. I keep thinking about the comments that were made in class. Brother Jamie brought up some things, and Brother Drew brought up some things in his prayer, but how much we should appreciate the country we live in. You know, we just sang about a home of the soul. As great as our country is, there's something greater waiting for us. There's something much greater. And I've been thinking about, I don't talk about this much, but any of my kids can testify when the Olympics come around that I bleed red, white, and blue. And you know, that's there. I love this country. I've been in 48 of the states. I hope someday to be in all of them. My family came here in 1635 in North Carolina. They went over on the Oregon Trail in 1849. And I love this country. Every state of the Union has something great in it. But you know what? It's just a taste of heaven, you know? It's just a taste of it. And these thoughts, you'll see how they connect with the lesson a little while later. It's good to see those who have been sick. It's good to see Drew here. It's good to see Shirley. We need to continue to pray for Heather, that she can feel better and be here with us. We have others that have been out. We need to always pray for each other. We're grateful for our visitors. We're glad that you're here. And I want to encourage us all to pray for the efforts on our TV programs. We're reaching more and more people. We're reaching people that I didn't even know about. We're getting good feedback. We're getting other people calling in, and we're having some follow-up interactions. It's really, really good. It's really, really good. And we have a lot of folks really working hard on them. And let's all pray for those efforts. Let's invite people to watch the program. As Aaron said, we can just invite people. We've got cards. Mark's got all these cards and magnets up here. We got boxes of cards and magnets to hand out that talk about our program. So let's make good use of these things. The question I want us to consider this morning is one that may be an unusual question, maybe worded in a weird way. Which criminal am I? Which robber am I? We're going to start off reading three passages. Matthew 27, starting in verse 38. Please all read along with me. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Matthew 27, 38. And we're pondering the question, which criminal am I? Which criminal am I? Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the priests, chief priests also, mocking the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." And he trusted in God. He trusted in God. "Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 27. "With him they also crucified two robbers, one on the right and the other on his left. So the scriptures were fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified him reviled him." In these two passages of Matthew and Mark, the terms for robber, that's translated robber, and other translations, thief or thieves, it's the same Greek word in both of the passages. We're going to read another account now in Luke 23 that uses a different Greek word. in Luke 23, same account of the crucifixion, starting with verse 32. As we read these things, Aaron talked about emotions. Emotions start welling up when we see how our Savior is treated. And that's a natural emotion when we read these things. Well, I want us to focus on the two others that were with him. Luke 23, starting verse 32. There were also two others, criminals, different Greek word. This Greek word means wrongdoer, evildoer, criminals. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged beside him, who were hanged, blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Which criminal am I? Which criminal am I? I'm going to read some things from a dear friend of mine of some thoughts that are written in a way that I think makes some really good points. So just listen as I read these things. Jesus was crucified between two criminals, or as some translations say, robbers or evildoers. At the beginning of his ordeal on the cross, both criminals reviled him, mocked him, and blasphemed him. The first criminal, although knowing his own death was near, continued to blaspheme Jesus. He was being put to death for his sin and would soon be lost eternally, yet he hardened his heart and threw taunts and insults at the suffering Savior. He had the audacity to join in with the onlookers, Jewish rulers and Roman soldiers, in humiliating and tormenting a weakened and dying Savior. The other criminal, however, started reviling Jesus. But as time went on, his attitude changed. Perhaps it was a realization that he was about to die and cross over into eternity, or perhaps it was the words and demeanor of Jesus as they hung beside each other on their crosses that brought about his change in heart. He rebuked the first criminal for not fearing God. He humbly acknowledged that he was under condemnation and being justly punished for his deeds. From this we can see that he understood he was a sinner. He had heard about Christ's kingdom and understood that Jesus was the only one who could grant him entrance into his kingdom. He also understood the eternal nature of his kingdom, since he appeals to a dying Jesus as his Lord and asks him to remember him when he enters in. Jesus assured him that that day he would be with him in paradise. When we have sin in our life and refuse to obey our Lord Jesus, who died for us to obtain forgiveness, aren't we like the first criminal, thumbing our nose at our dying Lord and mocking his power to save? Indeed, we need to be like the other criminal. We need to realize that death is but a moment away and that we are sinners. We need to repent of our sin and acknowledge Jesus as our Lord, the only one through whom we can enter the eternal kingdom. Our attitude should be one of taking opportunity that we have now to appeal to the love and mercy of Jesus for forgiveness through faith and obedience in him. Both criminals had one last opportunity to leave this world forgiven and saved eternally. One threw his chance for salvation back on the face of the Savior, and the other threw himself on the mercy of the Savior. Which criminal are you this morning? What will you do with this opportunity to make things right with your Lord and to obtain forgiveness of your sins? Will you throw it back in the face of Jesus, or will you humble yourself before him? Maybe you are not a Christian. What better time to repent of your sins and be baptized to wash them all away? Really good thoughts about this account that we read. Another thought I'd like to add. When we think about the kingdom of Christ and how superior it is over any nation on this earth, think about this. Jesus was being hung on a tree in a nation that was occupied by the Roman Empire. Some people say it was the most powerful empire this world's ever known. And beside him was a criminal hanging on the tree. And Jesus' kingdom is so powerful that that criminal could be taken away from that situation and put in the loving arms of Jesus. Now that's a powerful, powerful nation that we are members, who are Christians, are members of. That's a powerful nation. And when we think about it, there's no nation on the face of the earth that someone can't be saved from their sins. There's no place in this world, no matter how oppressive the government is or how blessed the government is and how blessed its people are like we are. It doesn't matter where you are. The nation of Jesus Christ is bigger. It's stronger. It's more powerful. And it brings peace that this world has no idea about unless they're in Christ. That's how powerful the nation of Jesus is. The church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful it is. And what a blessing. Is it not a blessing to be a member of that nation? A member of that kingdom of Jesus? Can I hear some amens? Amen. Amen. While we are tempted to act like the first criminal, some questions maybe that happen. Maybe we forget that every one of us is a criminal. Every one of us is a criminal. Every one of us is a transgressor. Maybe we forget that when we're tempted to act like the first criminal who didn't take advantage of Jesus. Maybe we take life for granted when we do not quickly humble ourselves to Jesus. Maybe we take life for granted. We have some folks in this building that have learned from life's experiences that every moment is a blessing from God. Let us all learn that lesson. Let us all take advantage of the moments in the minutes, in the hours that the Lord blesses us with to humble ourselves to him and his will. Or maybe we forget that without the love and mercy and death that Jesus brought, none of us have any hope of living in heaven forever. Without the love and mercy, without the death of Jesus, none of us would have any hope. I'd like to close with a reference to a prophecy that one of these passages referred to back in Isaiah 53. You know, sometimes when you look at prophecies in the Old Testament and you tie them to the New Testament, sometimes there's some prophecies there that, yeah, this really seems to fit, but we're not quite sure. Here's one that we know fits because we just read it. Isaiah 53, verse 11 and 12. Speaking of our Savior, and as a matter of fact, the King who is reigning now at the right hand of God. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus died for all of us criminals. Which one are you? Which one are you? Which one am I? You know, as we walk as Christians and we serve the Lord, sometimes we're tempted to fall away. Sometimes we're tempted to forget of our Savior as this first criminal did. Going back to Luke 23, I'd like to read the words from the second criminal. In verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?" Is there any of us that would not be condemned to eternity in torment if it wasn't for Jesus? If it wasn't for Jesus. What great words of wisdom from this criminal. Which one are we this morning? Which one do you want to be? If you're not a Christian, you need to be, because it's your only hope, and we can help you. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to be baptized to have them washed away. We have a series on our TV program right now that's called What Must I Do to Be Saved? It involves hearing the gospel. It involves faith. It involves belief. It involves confession of Jesus as Son of God. And it involves a repentant heart. It involves being willing to humbly submit in the waters of baptism, have your sins washed away. It involves then walking with Him, striving to be pleasing to Him, and not falling back. If you want to be a Christian this morning, we can help you. And we all encourage you to be like this second criminal. Humble yourself, realizing our only hope is Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. And let us stay true to Him. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.